Hey, we on Wild Word. So we had to take a little hiatus, but we back. This is your humble host, Tim. So we are back in the building. And, you know, I had to take a little break, but I'm back. Get my mind right. And there's a couple of things we're going to be talking about. So, you know, I had an implicit bias training. We're going to talk on that. My thoughts on the movie Freedom Riders. And my thoughts on Defund the Police. So that's what we're talking about in today's episode of Wow. Hey, so this is me on Wild Word. It's your humble host, Tim. And I just want to give you a few thoughts on what I thought about our, you know, my job. You know, we've been having these implicit bias trainings. So throughout the world now, it's been a lot of attention being paid to systemic racism and bias. And, you know, personally, I love it. I love the conversation. I love that people are now focused on this topic. I wish, you know, George Floyd and, you know, police brutality was not with us. But right now, we're in a moment where people are actually investigating structures and racist structures. So I actually like that. I like the fact that people are best investigating their bias and talking about systemic racism that's been with us for a long, long time. Implicit bias. So like I said, I'm a teacher and we've been talking about that. So we had a really good activity today, pretty much talking about bias. And we had to pretty much say what was four identities that we would describe ourselves with. So a lot of people say brother, sister, or brother, cousin, black man, Christian. You know, so people did stuff like that. And then they had to tell us what was positive with those identities and what was a stereotype that, they didn't like about those identities, right? And those conversations, you know, it led to, you know, some fruitful conversations. It's definitely a start, but implicit bias training, you know, I like it. And I think we need to have more of it. But one of the things is what's going to determine the success of it is really going to take people to be humble, you know, myself included. You know, it's going to be hard for people to tell you, hey, what you said, and you didn't intend to offend them, but you may have offended them with something you said, you know, like microaggressions. You know, they don't have to be intentional, you know, so it could be something that you said that they felt targeted by. You know, and you got to be humble enough to be like, you know what, I apologize, even if that wasn't your intention. You know, it's going to require people to listen and not talk as much, you know, so you can't try to lecture other people on what they should or should not be offended by. You know, so I like it. And she, our CEO, she actually recommended some good reading for us to do, you know, on bias. So, you know, I like it. And I like the conversations that's going on now. Me personally, with the police department, I think the best training is for them to be held accountable. So if you see some cops start going to jail for 30 and 40 years, I think that would be better training. And if they have transparency on, in terms of, hey, this cop has so many complaints, you got to go. You know, so I think that will be the training that's going to help get rid of a lot of this this craziness with the police brutality. Like, we need accountability and we need transparency. But speaking on the implicit bias training, you know, I've been watching one of my favorite movies, especially as a teacher, and I see it differently now that I'm a teacher now. Is this movie called Freedom Riders? So with Hilary Swank, and I think it had Mario in there. And it's a really good movie. For the people who haven't seen it, it's on Netflix currently. And it's this white teacher. She comes in, she's all idealistic, and she goes into this school that's in Long Beach, that's in the hood. So a lot of these kids are dealing with a lot of things. Like, they're dealing with, you know, drugs, gangs, violence, gun violence, you know, parents in prison, poverty. They're dealing with a lot, right? A lot of anger, a lot of frustration at the world. So Hillary Swank comes in. She tries to, you know, she builds her relationship with the students. And if you see it as a teacher, it talks a lot about a lot. And it's definitely something I could relate to, because when I first came into teaching, I was like that. I was real idealistic. Now, I wasn't to the level she was, but she was taking out 2 or 3 jobs now. You know, shout out to her for doing that. But, you know, so I like Freedom Riders, you know, because it does definitely motivate me to remind me, like, why I got into education. But at the same time, I kind of feel like it's giving the public, like, a false image of, like, what a teacher should do. Like, that's over and beyond, you know. And the fact that the system, like in the movie, for instance, she has to pay for books out of her own pocket. And she actually went and got 2 jobs so that she can take all her class to some fancy dinner. And then I think she even got someone who's a Holocaust survivor to talk to the kids about the Holocaust. So she did a whole lot of stuff over and beyond, like did a fundraiser with the students. Like, and I always think, like, when I hear about fundraisers, I'm like, why should teachers have to do that, though? You know, and it's kind of a messed up thing that the system, like in the movie, like it, which is real life. Like, a lot of people don't have enough money for books. A lot of people don't have money to go to trips and things like that. So why aren't we funding education like we should? You know, why is it routine that teachers have to come out their pocket? You know, so that's one of the things that that troubles me. You know, it's almost like I don't want the public to look at that and be like, oh yeah, that's what all teachers are supposed to do. Like, that's just expected. Like, no, that's over and beyond. That's pretty much the fact that she has to do all of that is kind of, it's not kind of, it's showing the failures of the education system. The fact that someone has to come out their pocket just to get basic things like books, you know. But also the thing, the Freedom Riders, you know, is definitely speaking to me right now, because in terms of the implicit bias, because you see, like, the idealistic teacher, she runs into her department chair, who pretty much looks at the kids as the enemy. You know, she's like, hey, they poor, they don't want to learn anyway, what's the point of us even doing this? Like, they kind of are already very, very pessimistic. And if anybody's been doing teaching long enough, you know, we all want to think that we're the Hillary Swank character, but the idealistic teacher. But a lot of us, after a while, we get into the teaching profession, you know, you have to fight off that pessimism. You know, because sometimes when things are not going right, or you got testing, or they having you do a million things, and they putting all the blame on you as a teacher, and you know it can't be on you, because these people, the students, are individuals that live in a society that have a lot of issues that has nothing to do with you. Sometimes you can get frustrated, you know, and sometimes you can just toss your hands up and be like, man, you don't even feel like they want to learn, you know, and all of that. So teachers, everybody, if they're really honest with themselves, and I'm being honest, you got to fight against those biases. You have to fight against that, you know. And I liked in the movie where she related to the students on a level where, you know, on a level they knew. You know, she had to come in there and talk about Tupac. You know, at first she wanted to come out there and start with Homer and some Greek philosophy and stuff. You're not gonna be able to do that, you know. And I think some teachers, they get frustrated by that, but it's about you being humble. You know, you gotta meet the kids where they are. You can't, because you love Greek literature, you come in there and just want to talk about Greek literature all day. Like, you gotta ease it into that. You know, you gotta start with something that the students would know first, and then, or are interested in first, and then bring them up. You know, and that is a frustrating thing sometimes, you know. Sometimes you got to be real basic. You got to come on real basic with it, and then meet them where they are and come up, you know. So, once she started playing Tupac and all of that, and, you know, and she showed that she built that relationship first. You know, she had to build the relationship, build that trust, all of that stuff comes before you just get into your subject, you know. And I think a lot of teachers, when they come in, they just want to teach their subject and be the smartest person in the room. But that's not what teaching is, you know. Teaching, you definitely got to build relationships. And when I see movies like that, especially, you know, Freedom Riders, it always kind of challenges me to just get that, to tap back into that idealism, you know, when it comes to teaching. Because you got to have that. You got to keep reminding yourself why you're doing this, you know, and your passion for why you got into teaching. Because you definitely didn't get into it for the money, okay? You definitely get into teaching because you're passionate about it, you know. So, all right. And that's my thoughts on the Freedom Riders. That's my, you know, like I said, one of my faves. And last but not least, I'm going to talk about this defund the police. Now, I'm personally for, you know, I think one of the things when I first heard it, I was a little confused because I was like, are they trying to abolish the police? And I think some people mean that. I'm not with that. But I do think it's crazy that when you look at a lot of cities, like almost 40% of the budget goes to police, and the tactics that they're using is obviously not working. You know, it's poisoning the community, it's poisoning the trust, it's breaking the trust of the community and the police, you know. So we need to try some different methods, you know. And I've seen some out there that I think will work. You know, it's not going to be a magic bullet or nothing like that, but or a panacea, a cure-all, anything like that. But I think, yeah, you definitely need to first hold police accountable. I think that everything else has to be second to that. First things first, you need to hold police accountable. We need, like, if police are killing people unarmed, they need to go to jail. And that needs to be persistent. Like, oh, that cop killed somebody, oh, he got 30 years in prison. He got 40 years in prison. You know, that needs, first of all, that's what it needs to be. And accountability first, and then transparency, where we're able to see who is actually policing us. You know what I'm saying? We need to know who in the world is policing us. It needs to be some type of database, and we can see how many, like, oh, you got two complaints, or you got complaints for this. Oh, nah, your services are no longer required. You know, it needs to be like that. You know, like if a teacher do some stuff or beat up a kid or something, they ain't going to just be able to just keep their job. No, and I'm for unions and stuff, but nah, we can't just protect people who killing people out in the street, because that messes it up for all police. That messes it up for the whole community. So, no. Mm-mm. But the defund police, when I hear that, I just think they're going to have a marketing. The slogan is confusing. But I understand what they're saying, though. You know, because we don't need cops on armed cops having military weapons. So I like that, demilitarize the police. I definitely agree with that. Demilitarize the police. We need to take all of that. We don't need all of that, like you're patrolling in Baghdad. You don't need that. Also, I don't think police needs to be on every call. So like if you're dealing with somebody peeing in the street, or you're dealing with somebody who's homeless, or you're dealing with somebody who's on drugs, but they're nonviolent, you're dealing with, you know, have no weapon, you're dealing with somebody who has mental health, I think you need to have task force that just deal with that. And they're unarmed. And they're trained in mental health. You see what I'm saying? They're actually trained in mental health. So that's my two cents on that. You know, I just think I do love the conversations where we're trying to rethink public safety. Because, yeah, because I think a lot of people just assume having cops on every corner. Like when I go to D.C. and Ward 7 and 8, that's not helping. That's not doing it. And I think we also need to look at some of the societal, structural causes of crime. You know, people don't have jobs. People are not trained for certain jobs, right? They can't provide for themselves. They don't have housing. They're getting priced out of the city, you know, with the gentrification and all of that. So, you know, they don't have a place to stay, no affordable housing. You know, we got drug abuse. You always got to, you know, drug abuse. You got mental health. You know, so you got a lot of issues in society, you know, that we got to address, you know, first. We got to address that. And I think that will help with the crime. You know, I talk about gun violence and where you stand on that. You know, we definitely need more research into gun violence and all of that stuff. So, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of different lock in things when it comes to crime. It's not just one thing, but yeah, I'm definitely for taking some of that money and putting it into community strategies and mental health and all of those things I mentioned. So, all right. So that's pretty much my take on a lot of things. And we'll see you next week on Wild Words.